Amen. 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 Go with me, please, to John 3. And I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 in the Voice translation. That's our launching point. We, generally speaking, unless, you know, God does something different for today, we start all teaching services reading John 3, 16 and 17, because it's a good reminder. And actually, it's after we finish with the fundamentals of speaking, whenever that is, we're going to move into Rescue 317. Based on this scripture. All right. It says, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. I'm going to give you a commercial now for Rescue 317. The Bible tells us Jesus is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. And I got this vision of being on a cruise ship. All my thoughts are on the cruise ship now. Okay. And there's someone hanging off the edge acting a fool. And everybody tell them, don't go near the edge, don't do it, you'll fall. And they fall in. I'm standing next to a stack of life preservers. But I don't throw them a lifeline. I go to the edge and say, "You shouldn't have been over there. That's what you get when you don't listen." Right. I have all the means necessary to rescue him. But I'm not interested in rescuing him. I'm interested in giving him a piece of my mind for his own benefit that's only going to last a few seconds because he's going to drown. Well, that's what we do with the world. We get upset because we encounter sinners who need to be rescued. We don't rescue them. We tell them they're dirty, rotten sinners. Like they didn't know that. And we have everything that we need to rescue them. When you think about it, rescue workers don't care about their own life. They will put their life on the line to save someone they don't even know. Who probably they'll have no benefit from that individual. But they will put their life on the line, and some have given their life to rescue. Jesus gave his life to rescue. And he expects us to do the same thing, but we're going to talk about that at another time. You've all heard me share, most of you have heard me share my thoughts on fundamentals. I'll take a fundamentally sound athlete over a skilled athlete any day of the week, and twice on Sunday. I mean, that's just because if you don't have fundamentals, I don't care how much skill you have. If you don't have fundamentals in place, situations are going to come up and your skill is not going to be able to get you through it. Your talent's not going to be able to get you through it. You need to know the basics. Fundamental, this is what I mean, the dictionary definition of fundamental. It's in here somewhere. Okay. It's their basic principles, their basic rules or laws, and they serve as the groundwork for any system. They're essential. And if you're going to be successful, they're necessary. Michael Jordan wrote in one of his little books, "I Can't Accept Not Trying," he said, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. And it does. Everything you do, there are fundamentals associated with it. And if you don't understand those fundamentals, you're not going to be successful. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. The same thing is true. We'll read these scriptures and we'll get excited, but we don't understand the fundamentals behind those scriptures. We don't understand the foundation of it, and it's not really taught a whole lot. We'll teach the scripture, but we don't unpack it to the point where you understand the fundamental. That has to be in place. I vividly remember one of our young men was playing, played for his high school. He was a really good player. And I watched him before the game, and they were doing what he thought was just warm-up drills because the coach never told him anything differently. Well, they would just do a little three-man weave and do a layup at the end. But then during the game, he stole the ball. And he's at half court, and he has two players on his side. And I'm like, okay, he's going to get a dunk out of this one. No, he takes off dribbling down the middle of the court. Basketball 101 says you don't do that. You kick it to the wing. You go behind the man you pass it to, fill the lane. He hits you with a good bounce pass, and you right to the basket. And he dribbled and went off his foot and went out of bounds. And so I asked him about that play after. I said, what's that drill that you guys do? He said, oh, that's just a warm-up. I said, no, it's not. I said, that's a basic basketball play. Coach never told him that. Never. But coaches don't teach fundamentals. They don't teach skill. They want you to come already skilled because they just want to get wins. You know, yeah, we want you to win in life, but in order to win in life, we have to prepare you to win. And in order to do that, we have to make sure you are fundamentally sound. Everyone say fundamentally sound. Okay. Most people are aware that there are fundamentals involved in things, but they don't take the time to find out what they are, and they don't practice them to the point where they're mastered. See, when I say mastered, you see things. Doesn't matter how chaotic it is, you see something very, very simple. Very simple. And the reason that they're not aware and they don't learn is because it takes a long time to learn them, and it can be boring. Because you're doing something over and over and over, and it's just you. It's just you. I missed one pass in a game. We were ahead by double digits. We didn't lose the game, but the coach got on my case because I fumbled one pass. So the next practice, he says, Foots, go to the wall. Go to the wall. Gave me a basketball. I had to go to the wall and stay there for an hour, throwing a ball off the wall and catching it back. And I'm like, faster. Back up. Back up some more. You know? And I had to do that because I missed one thing. He said, you have to get your hands in the right position so that when a ball comes, you catch it enough. You can't be fumbling the ball. I didn't fumble anymore. You know. I understood the fundamental, but it was boring, and I hated it. But I love catching the passes and scoring, and you know, and it was all part of it. So you have to forget about the boredom and concentrate on learning the fundamental. Let's go to, with that in mind, I want you to go to Mark 11, 23. I like to say, as Pastor Clinton would say, it's a very famous scripture. And Dave, if it's such a number, there are a gazillion messages on Mark 11. But I think you're going to see something differently by the time we finish. Beginning with verse 22 of Mark 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. See, we read that scripture, and we get excited, and we start speaking to things and casting stuff out, and nothing's happening. And then we get frustrated. We'll tell people, said, I spoke to it and didn't move. Well, just keep speaking. Just keep speaking. So you keep speaking, and nothing's happening. And your attitude is like, I knew this wasn't going to work. I knew it. I knew it. And you get discouraged. Well, see, the problem's not the integrity of the word. The word is true. Whether you believe it or not, the word is true. So you might as well believe it. But the problem is we're not aware of the fundamentals that drive Mark 11, 22, and 23. They're fundamentals. I'm going to read it again. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There are five fundamentals in those two scriptures. Five. And if you master them, you'll get the results speaking to the mountains. Now, I'm going to give you all five now, and then we're going to start going one by one until I'm finished. And when we finish with those five, there are two others that are not found in that scripture, but that apply to it, and we'll get to those two down the road. Okay? Now, remember I told you that one of the reasons people don't like fundamentals is because it takes a long time to develop them? Well, that's why I said I'm going to take my time giving them to you. So when you think, when are we going to finish with this? Oh, well, Pastor did say it takes a long time. Okay. So based on Mark 11, 22, and 23, first fundamental, you must have faith in God. That's the first one. Second one, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Third one, you have to speak to your mountain. Fourth one, you must believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. And the fifth one is you have to know that you will have what you say. You must have faith in God. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must speak. You have to speak to your mountain. You must believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth, and you will have what you say. Those five fundamentals have to be learned and mastered. They have to be. And you say, oh, I know that. I've read all of Kenneth Hagin's book. Yeah, you know it, but well, how come it's not working if you've gotten it? See, knowing the scripture and understanding how it works are two different things. Most believers have very good head knowledge. We're very good at memorizing scriptures. But what we don't understand is how to make them work. That's why it may sound strange to you, but I'm not a proponent of just memorizing the Bible. Read the Bible, read a scripture, find out how to make that work. Then move on to the next one. Find out how to make it work. That's what's important. Otherwise, just pick up any other book and read it, because you'll get about the same result. And let me ask you these questions. Have you found yourself complaining? You don't have to answer them, you know, publicly, but think about it. Do you find yourself complaining about what you're going through? And, you know, are you using worldly methods and taking on worldly methodologies about handling things? Or do you find yourself frustrated? It's because you haven't mastered the fundamentals, and the scriptures aren't working for you. See, we have to understand it. First one is what? What say the first one? You must have faith in God. Think about it. In Philippians, it says, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need. And we think someone is supposed to take that scripture and go praise the Lord and jump into a Holy Ghost dance. God's going to come through for me. Not if they don't have a knowledge of who God is. Because you don't have a knowledge of who God is, when they say, my God will do something, it won't mean anything to you. If I said, Jonathan will supply all your needs. Like, who's Jonathan? And what does he have that I should believe he can take care of me? But you have to believe that God is. So I believe that God is. Do you really? Why are you fretting? Let's forget about fretting for a moment. Why are you saying some of the things you're saying to other people? Why are you watching what you're watching? You believe that God is, and everything about God is true. How come it's not reflected in our behavior? See, in Exodus, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, they said in Exodus 5, they go up to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is this Lord that I should obey his voice? He didn't know. He said, I don't know you're a Lord. And no, I'm not letting Israel go. It didn't mean anything. He didn't know. Nebuchadnezzar asked a similar question. He said, you know, when I play my music, you're going to dance to my beat, or you will find your little backside thrown into this furnace. And who is the God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? See, folks, it doesn't matter that the circumstance doesn't know your God. You have to know. Because once you know and you act like you know, the circumstance will change. Moses let the people go because he had to go through some things and he found out the God of Moses is real. Nebuchadnezzar put out a decree. So anybody that talks about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be thrown into the furnace. That didn't burn them, but it will burn you. Okay. But we need to think about those things. The only reason they prevailed is that they knew who God was to them. You have to know who God is to you. You have to know what he's done for you, what he's doing for you right now, and what he's going to do for you. You have to have it settled. Otherwise, it won't mean anything. Have faith in God. Why? I tried that. Tried? Did you say you tried it? God, he's not for new food. You taste to see if try it, you'll like it. You know, you're not Mikey. Right. No, you have to know that God will do everything that he said he will do and that he has done already for you. You have to know that. So when a circumstance comes, you are not shaken. You may be surprised, but you are not shaken. You don't go to pieces. Because you know it's only going to go but so far, and then God's going to say, enough. Enough. You know. So if we know God, why are we worrying? You think about that. Why are you getting excited? You know God? Why won't you forgive? If we know God and we understand the fundamental that God is, well, he said, forgive. And if we believe that, then we would be forgiving. I mean, think about it. We can't say, oh, yeah, I know God. Well, really? Why aren't we doing what he said? If we really know him, why are we afraid? We know God. So that the God that we know said, you have dominion over everything that creeps upon this earth. Let a mouse run through the room. You're sitting out on your porch, and all of a sudden, the itsy bitsy spider starts coming up. You shoot out of your seat like a missile. But we know God. We know God. How come we're not going into all the world preaching the gospel? Why aren't we laying hands on the sick? So what we do is we'll tell the sick, well, you need to come to my church. You know, maybe there'll be a move of the Holy Ghost. And the pastor will lay hands on you. What's the matter with your hands? Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He didn't say, bring the sick to a church service, and maybe I'll move and they'll be taken care of. He said, no, believers, lay hands on the sick, and the sick recovers. How many of you know that God protects me? Do you believe that? Because the next one he has here is, why aren't we tithing and giving? I'm just a messenger. We know God. We know my God shall supply. So if he asks you to give some of what he supplied, why aren't we doing it? It's a fundamental. You know, if we know God and we know what he's doing. Oh, I sit here and I hear announcement after announcement after announcement that, you know, the youth department needs help, or they'll need help in the media department needs help. We know God. Why aren't we serving? You know, why aren't we serving? If we understand the fundamentals, we'll do that. The Bible says your gift will make room for itself. But, you know, I was looking earlier in Ecclesiastes, where the beginning of the scripture in Ecclesiastes 9, I believe, it says, do what your hands find to do. And I thought it's interesting because we always say, well, if you have a heart for the children, you know, then you need to serve in the youth department. Why wouldn't you have a heart for the children? We know God. For God so loved the world. He didn't say except young people. You know, so if we know God and we know that there is a need, and we have the capability of fulfilling that need, why won't we fill it? If we know God and we understand what that means. I never, ever, when the pastors asked something of me, I never once said, okay, I got to go and pray about that. And they would say, well, you go pray about it. And the reason I didn't is because I haven't seen that in the scriptures. I haven't seen where God called someone and they went off to pray to find out whether or not they should listen to the call of God or not. What we do is we're praying to find out whether or not we want to do it. Yeah. Because if God is calling you, you can do it. I've done things in this ministry that I've never been trained to do. Most of you have heard the story. when the school closed, I was moved over into facilities. And my first task was to convert classrooms into a banquet hall. I knew zero about construction. I knew what a blueprint was. I didn't know how to read blueprints. The only scale I knew about is one that stands on and tells you you weigh too much. I didn't know anything else. But yet I found myself in meetings with contractors using construction terms that I never heard before in my life. And they're asking me, how do you know that? And I said, listen, we're a Bible-believing church. So I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to give me all the information I need to know, so you better be straight with me. Because if you're not, I'm going to know it, and you'll be gone. Period. And someone did something that they shouldn't have done. And God told me to go in early. So I come walking in at 5:30. And I look and see where they had cut this trench across the whole length of the kitchen area. And I heard myself say, you can't do that. You just compromised the integrity of this module. And I'm thinking, what did I just say? And I went in and called the building department, who I'd become friends with. And I said, Charlie, I got a situation here. I need you to come by. Now I'm talking to the Clarkstown Building Department, telling them, you know, you got to come by here. And he said, I'll be there in a few minutes. And he came over. He came and looked at it, looked at the contract, and said, you can't do this. You just compromised the integrity of this module. How'd I know that? The Holy Ghost told me. He told me. Because I said yes. God, do you realize that God knows what you don't know in the natural? Yes. And he calls you anyway. Anyway. He called Moses. He knew what Moses, he knew Moses didn't speak too good. He knew that when he called him. He had a plan in place. All Moses had to do was say yes for God's plan to unfold. All you have to do is say yes. Some of you will find out that one of the reasons you're going through what you're going through is because you're out of the will of God. Because he's asked you to do something that you don't like doing. And so you're like I did. The first time God told me to join the youth department, I thought he was on drugs. I'm just being honest with you. God, if you have something for ages 6 to 10, I'm your guy. Once they get past 10, I'm not your guy. Because they think they know it all, and I'll hurt somebody's kid. I'm not doing that. And I'm sitting in a meeting with the youth department because our children would go to youth fellowship, and they wanted to meet with all the parents, and they introduced the staff. And aside from the youth director, there was one other male. I'm sitting in the chair getting indignant. I'm like, where are all the men? God said, I told you to join the youth department. That's what I did. Okay. Because I joined the hosts because I figured, he just wants me to serve. And I created a mess in my family because I was out of position. Look at Hebrews 11. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Daniel, it says, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and stand firm and do exploits for God. But you have to know, you have to believe that God is, you have to know that he is, and you have to know that he will move on your behalf. Do you understand? So you have to have faith in God. Going back to Mark 11:22, it begins, and Jesus answering saith to them, have faith in God. Okay, same principle here. Who is this Jesus that I should believe what he said? Because he's the one that said, have faith in God. What is it about him that I should believe what he said? If I don't see him as the Son of God, what he says won't mean anything to me. See, it's the same principle. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. In Mark's, in Matthew 16, when they were on the coast, at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said to all of his disciples, who do men say that I am? And, you know, some say you're, you know, one of the prophets. It's like, okay, cool. Who do you say that I am? That's really the only question that matters. What say you? Only Peter answered. So that means everybody else that was there didn't know. They were baffled. Ooh, never thought of that one. But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. So God told Peter that he was standing in the presence of his Son, in the person of Jesus Christ. Tell you why that's important. Jesus said, on this revelation, I'm building the church. So if you don't have the revelation, how can you be part of the church? On that rock, on that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Son of the living God, established the church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. If you don't understand who Jesus is, that don't mean anything to you. And everything will be prevailing against you. Because you don't understand, I'm founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. So you should be, I mean, there was a song by, what was it, Donnie and Reba McGuire or McIntyre, or some Storm in the Gates of Hell was a song they wrote. Well, that's what you would be doing. You wouldn't be afraid of anything because you would know it can't prevail against you because Jesus said so. Well, who's Jesus? He's the Christ, the Son of God. That's who he is. And everything he says, God backs up. So that means everything that I say, Jesus backs up and God backs him up. So I'm good. I'm good. As long as I understand that fundamental. And I pattern myself accordingly. Jesus said something that was absolutely critical. Absolutely. In John 14, he said to his disciples, this is out of the Amplified Bible, beginning with verse 6, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now you need to think about that. That just doesn't mean physically get to the Father. You can't get what God has for you unless you go through Christ. And if you don't believe there's a Christ, how are you going to get what God has for you? I mean, you need to think about that. How are you going to do that? Right? Jesus, he also said in John 16, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But if you don't ask in his name, you won't get anything. You need to understand that. And don't forget the Great Commission. That these signs shall follow them that believe. What does it say after that? In my name you shall cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Pick up any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's in the name of Jesus. And if you don't believe in that, how are you going to operate in that? You won't. You can't. You'll be saying meaningless words. As Pastor Clinton would say, you might as well go around singing Mary Had a Little Lamb for all the results it'll get you. So you have to believe that God is, and you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the one true living God. And it's important to know that he is the living God. And Jesus is a living son. He's not a dead son of a dead God. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, understand something. Truth is not dependent on what you believe. All right. Truth is the truth. Period. Truth doesn't care if you don't believe it. He's not going to change and say, well, I guess I'm not going to be truth anymore. No, the truth is the truth is the truth. And if you want that mountain to move when you speak, you better be believing that God is and Jesus is the Son of the one true living God. The third one, probably the last one I'm going to share with you today, we'll see how time goes. You have to speak to the mountain. Now, there's something, not trying to make anybody feel bad, I'm just telling you the truth. There's something that we are very good at doing. I mean, we could hold a class. We shouldn't, but we can. And everybody has a PhD in this. Talking about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain. We'll bend everybody's ears speaking about what, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, Jesus, the devil is just running roughshod all over me. My kids are on drugs. They're going to fire me from my job. I'm behind in my rent, you know. And we just go on and on and on and on. And sometimes you feel like you want to just say, well, you shut up, you know. But we'll talk about things, and we won't speak to it. And Jesus said, we have to speak to the mountain, not about it. God never complained about what the devil did to the earth when he fell. He didn't go to the Son and the Holy Ghost and said, look what they did to my earth. I can't believe that. What am I going to do now? Everything, it's dark. All over. Look, it's all dark. It wasn't like that before. It's formless. There's nothing there. What are people going to think about me now? He didn't talk about it. When he was ready, he said, let there be light. Period. And there was light. He spoke to what he wanted. He didn't speak to what was. He didn't speak to the darkness. It's darkness, you got to leave here. He didn't speak to the earth being empty. He didn't speak to it being all out of shape. He said, light be. Whatever had to happen for light to be, happened. And God knew, because he said it, that it was going to happen. We have to know that when we say what he tells us to say, it will happen. But we have to speak to it and stop speaking about it. What God wanted created, he spoke to it. So let the earth bring forth herb yielding seed. Done. He said, this is going to be food for everybody. I'm like, wow, even in creation, God was supplying our every need. Yeah, you need to think about that. From the beginning, he provided. Because he's God. He just spoke it. He said he made man, according to the Message Bible. Message or Amplified? I think it's the Message Bible. He said, let us make, yeah, it's the Message Bible. Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature. Well, God demonstrated what his nature was. Or part of his nature. He spoke and things happened. Why would he expect anything less of the beings he created to reflect his nature? So whatever is God's nature should be seen in us. So if his nature is he speaks and things happen, then when we speak, things should happen. We need to understand, but we have to speak to it. And we have to speak to it in line with what God said. Because if it's not what God said, then we're not reflecting his nature. We're reflecting our nature. There are about 10 instances, 10 or 11, of creation where it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. That was it. He didn't call up any contractors. He spoke it. We had a, does everyone know what a UPS is? Not postal service. Uninterrupted power source. Okay, it's a backup device, you know, for computers and phone systems and those things. And we had a UPS at the church that had lived long past its useful life. And we were going through the process of finding a replacement. But the one that we had kept cutting out, causing issues. And I spoke to our IT guy because they called me and they're like, Pastor, you know, this thing, it's going out again. You know, and I'm thinking, you're the IT department, why are you calling me? Is what my thought is. But called, so I go up there and I'm listening and I said, so what do we need? He said, well, we need to replace it. I said, I know that. But that's at least 2-3 weeks out. What do we do in the meantime? He said, I guess we're going to have to deal with this. I'm like, uh-uh. No, we're not. He said, what else can we do? I said, who's in charge of the IT department? He said, well, I am. I said, well, lay hands on it and command it to function until we replace it. He looked at me and I'm like, he laid hands on it and spoke to it, and it functioned properly until we replaced it. Never went out again. I mean, it was just that simple. I mean, but that we have that authority. We have to reflect the nature of our Father. He speaks to things, so we speak to things. It's just that simple. When you understand it, if you don't understand it, it can get complicated. But God didn't focus on, like I said, the emptiness or the dark. His focus was on what he wanted, and that's what he spoke. What is it that you want in the situations that you're going through? Why not speak that into existence? See, we don't have to. Someone told me once, They were concerned that there were only 30,000 registered Christians in Rockland County. Only 30,000, you know, as opposed to 90,000 or whatever of other religions. And he said, and we got to pray because the darkness is coming over the county And we have to pray that God push back the darkness. And I told him after everything was over, you know, I asked to speak with him, because you don't embarrass people publicly. You don't come. You have a conversation. You know, because you could be wrong too. You know, but I said, did I hear you correctly when you said there are only 30,000? Yes. And that darkness is coming across the county. Yes. I say, I agree with you that darkness is coming across the county, but I don't agree with you that we need to pray and ask God to push back the darkness. I said, you don't pray and ask God to do something that he's already done. Amen. I said, he put 30,000 lights in Rockland County. So we need to find out who these 30,000 are and make sure they understand their lights. Because the light shines in the darkness. And when the light shines, darkness leaves. I mean, it's that simple. I said, so God knew the darkness was coming. So he has 30,000 lights in place. Some of them just don't know that they're lights. That's all. You have, why am I telling you that? You have all of this power resident in you and don't know it and don't understand how to tap into it. So we go through motions. And by that, I mean, see, when we speak and it's ineffective, we're just really going through the motions because we don't really understand all the power that's associated with it. We don't understand how the mindset that we have to have before we speak these things out. We can't be playing. You know, it's not, I'm going to try it and see what happens. No, we know because God has said, and this is going to happen, period. It's going to happen. Friday night, one of our guests at P-Cubed, he was praying about the rain. And someone said they almost got mad and stopped him because they didn't like his prayer. Because he was like, God, let it rain. And they wanted to shut it off right then. You know, he said, let it rain hard for about 15 minutes so that people get the water that they need, then stop. It rained for about 16 minutes and stopped. And stopped. You know. But then they did not understand that just like they prayed once for the rain and got what they wanted, all they had to do is pray once for a family member and believe it the same way. Because they had a family member that they said, I prayed about the operation they were going to have and that everything would go well. And they had the operation. And he didn't get a call that something went bad. But he wanted to pray again that everything went well. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You prayed that this morning, you said. Yes. Do you believe God answered your prayer? Yes. So why are you praying it again? Now, do you believe God answered it? Yes. So now let's thank him. Let's give him praise for it. You know, because the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we place before him. It's that simple. But if we don't understand that, we won't be able to operate in it. And what it comes down to, any situation, it comes down to, what did God say? And then there's only one other question that you need to ask. Do I believe it? And if that answer is yes, open your mouth and speak to it. Because your heart and the words coming out of your mouth must be in agreement. Must be. If you want what you're saying to happen. That's why you really need to be mindful of the words you release even when you're clowning around. Because when you're clowning around, you mean what you're saying. And sometimes I saw a quote that said some of the truest things are said in jest. Because you want to take a shot at someone, but you don't want them to know that you're really taking a shot at them. You want them to think you're just clowning around. You know. But your heart knows. Your heart knows. There's a scripture I'll probably share with you the next time where it says it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Okay. It's your heart, not the dictionary. So if you're going to speak to that mountain, you better make sure your heart is right. Otherwise, that mountain will look to be poking the other mountain next to you. There they go. They're at it again. You know. Maybe we should rumble, make them think we're moving. How do you think they'll handle it? <You know? laughs> Speaking without doubting is a fundamental. See, that's why you really need to understand this. The devil's job is to frustrate you. That's his job. Let me see if I recorded this. There's a translation of Mark 11. It's called a Johnson translation. And in essence, it says, if you say to this mountain, go dump yourself in the lake, and you don't become separated from the words that you speak, you'll actualize what you said. Because when your words are congruent with your heart, you'll have what you said. But the key point is, you cannot back away from what you have said. I mean, think back to when you know, adults, think back to when you were children, and someone would say something to you that you didn't like, and you go up to them and say, you take that back. Well, that's what the enemy does. He comes with circumstances to cause you to take back the words that you've spoken. And if you pay attention to what he's doing or what he's trying to do, you'll take him back. See, I don't take him back. Yes, you do. You'll start doubting. If God's word is true, why is my nose still bleeding? Why is this happening to me? God, I've done everything that you told me to do. I'm doing everything you told me to do. You told me do it, the doctors tell me I'm doing what they told me to do, and look at this is the result of it. No. I'm not backing away from any of the words that I've spoken. Amen. Period. And even that, I'll be driving along, and the enemy will bring back the video where I'm holding my hand down, I'm seeing blood pour into my hand. I rebuke that vision. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to be moved by this. So when he brings, I'm going to ignore it. So if he wants to waste his energy flashing it, go right ahead. I'm not going to be moved by it. I'm not going to give it any more to pay any more attention to it. Because all it's trying to do is to frustrate me and to cause doubt and fear. And when it happens, I have a partner. I have a helpmeet. We're coming up here Friday, going past that stretch between exit 4 and exit 19. You know, and I said, this was the part that was trying to make me anxious. Because the enemy is saying, you're going to get in that part, and I'm going to make your nose bleed again. And this time, they're not going to be able to get to you quickly because you got that long stretches, no on or off ramps. We came up anyway. And we're back here today. Amen. And we didn't find a shortcut. Okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. I opened it and it popped right up. Listen to this. It says, truly, anyone who speaks of that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself into the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, that means with his heart, his desire will be actualized. His desire will be. Notice it didn't say immediately appear. It said it will be actualized. I'm going to say this, and I'll probably unhook. But when they were building roads, you know, they have a path they want the road to go, and invariably it led to a mountain. So either they had to go over the mountain, around the mountain, or through the mountain. And I guess because of construction costs, those options weren't always the best. So they decided that they needed to move the mountain. And so what they did, you may remember seeing signs where it said, you know, explosives in use, turn off your radios and all these things. Well, they would plant explosives and detonate them, and they would slowly blast away at the mountain. They didn't do one set of charges and just obliterate the mountain. They had to do strategic explosions where they just bring the mountain down, bring in the earth movers and move it away, get that cleared, set some more charges, take that down. Why am I telling you that? Because you have to keep speaking to the mountain. Because some mountains are bigger than others. And you say, but Pastor, there's a mountain range in front of me. What am I supposed to do with that? One mountain at a time. Amen. One mountain. Didn't they speak to the mountain range? Speak to the mountain. Put fear in the other mountains. Look what they did to Charlie. Yes. Need to think about that. Some are bigger, some are smaller. You know, but you keep speaking because, see, we don't know all that's involved in moving the mountain. We don't know all that's involved in correcting the circumstance. We don't know. How many here in the medical profession? Just raise your hand. How many, you know, just a ballpark. How many different causes are there for a headache? All right? So you feel a headache. And you think, okay, it's a migraine. I need or I need rest. So you speak to it. You're going to stop, distract me. I'm going to bed by 7 o'clock, and I'm getting my rest. So headache, you're going to leave. What if it's not from that? Then what are you going to do? You don't know. You have a pain in your side. I went to the doctor once. I said, it's a pain in my side. It's tender here? No, it's not tender. He said, well, it's coming from your back. Huh? From my back? Okay. We don't know. So why not body be whole? In Jesus' name. And just like with creation, whatever has to happen, now think about it. We're going to go here in detail in a couple of lessons down. But think about the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said to his disciples, according to, I believe it's the Message Bible, he said, the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. He said, the final result. That means that some other things are going to present themselves as fact, but that's not the final result. Even Lazarus dying was not the final result, because Jesus said, I'm going to go and awaken him. But then he had this indisputable evidence that Lazarus was dead. He got word, Lazarus is dead. He went to the town. And one of Lazarus' sister, first thing she said, if you've been here, he wouldn't have died. She's the other sister, if you've been here, he wouldn't have died. He looks around, all these people mourning all over the place. Then he goes to where they bury him. They take him to the tomb. Open the tomb. No, don't do that. There's going to be a stench. Boy, been dead 4 days, Jesus. Indisputable scientific evidence that Lazarus is dead. This is over. This is done. But he said the final result will not be the death of Lazarus. The Bible doesn't talk about what type of sickness Lazarus had. But Jesus didn't, you foul sickness and spirit of disease, you come out of that. He didn't do that. After 4 days, his body had already started to decompose. He didn't say, you recompose. Bugs, get off of him. And, you know, no. All he said was, Lazarus, come forth. And whatever God had to do for Lazarus to come forth, God did. Amen. Why? Because Jesus spoke to it, and he spoke to it having faith in God. I mean, that's what he did. And you need to understand that when these circumstances present themselves, don't dismiss them. You know, it's a real circumstance. So what? The final result is not going to be death. The final result, thanks be to God, which always causes you to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's the final result. So forget about how it looks. Say, looks can be deceiving. Got a couple of things I could say about that, but I'm going to leave it alone. Okay. But everything is not always what it appears to be. Okay. So forget about looks and go with what God said. So remember, you must have faith in God. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have to speak to. Not tell your neighbor, you have to speak to your mountain. Stop speaking about the mountain, because speaking about the mountain is called murmuring. Okay. Think about that one for a bit. If you're going to speak about the mountain, move to Massa of Meribah, because that's the place where they were murmuring. That's the city of murmuring. And we don't want to be residents there. Do you understand? Do you see how understanding just those three fundamentals can change your, should change your attitude about Mark 11, 22, and 23 and speaking to your mountain? And until we get to the others, if you operate in those three, you'll be much better off than you've ever been. Just understanding those three. And deciding to act like you really believe God is. You really believe you reflect his nature. You're made in his image, after his likeness. You really believe that. And you really believe that Jesus is the Christ. So how am I going to demonstrate that? You let your behavior line up with that. Because they said they'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. So that means they're with you every single moment of every single day. Maybe we want to adjust our lifestyles to act like we're aware that he's with us every single moment of every single day. And think about that. Then you won't care who walks in on you. It won't matter. Do you understand? Say, I'm going to be fundamentally sound. Because the word is going to work when I speak it.